If you have your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of Philippians. Preacher asked me to teach Sunday school, so that's what I'm going to do. And here in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, I just want to try to give you something that sure was a blessing and a help to me. And, well, I tell you, the Lord sure is good, amen. And I'm really glad to be here. When Preacher was up there and I got to really kind of get to know him a little bit better, he said, don't let me ever find out that you come through Missouri without stopping and seeing us, you know. And I thought, well, man, we're moving. And I said, we might as well just go on and stop and spend the Sunday with them. And then he said, well, can you preach Sunday morning? I said, yeah. He said, can you teach? I said, well, yeah. He said, how about Sunday night? I said, yeah, boy. And I was looking forward to hearing him preach again, but I thank God for the opportunity, and it is good to be here. Through Preacher Simpson, I've heard of the work and heard of y'all folks for years and heard a lot of good things about you, so it's really good to be here. In Philippians chapter number 4, something really helped me in my life was this thing of worry. And I want to just teach a little bit this morning about winning the war with worry. And that's not just a catchy sounding title or nothing like that. It's a genuine war. It's a serious part of our Christian warfare is worry. And I want you to know this morning that worry is just flat out sin. Amen. And so it's a war that we battle, and every one of us battle it, I think I could easily say. But I believe in these verses, the Bible tells us how we can really win the war with worry today. And, I tell you, it's not just in these verses, but I believe that anything worth learning, teaching, or preaching in the Bible, you'll find that it's a principle throughout the Bible. And the same principles that you're going to find here in Philippians, you find them in the Old Testament. You find them other places in the New Testament. And we're going to deal with those in just a moment. But let's look here in Philippians chapter number 4, and let's start reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now notice verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, as most of us probably know this morning, the man that wrote those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God wrote them from prison. And if anybody had a reason or an excuse to worry, it was probably the Apostle Paul. But he's the one that's letting us know, hey, be careful for nothing. And that careful is the same way we get our word anxiety from it. Don't worry about anything. We're not to worry. Now, that's a big command, isn't it? Because we all know that it's something that we've struggled with and that we maybe struggle with quite regularly. There's some people that actually allow worry to dominate their entire lives. And we're going to try to get into that in just a little bit. It's really interesting when you look at the word careful, it means to be pulled in different directions. And with the old English where we get the word worry from literally means to strangle, to strangle. You know that worry will strangle you. It'll strangle you. It'll choke the life out of you. Amen. I mean, boy, rather than being able to come into the house of God today and, man, get a blessing from the Lord, boy, you're coming in and you're just burdened down, and the whole time that you're singing and the whole time there's prayer, boy, you're just worrying. You're thinking on things that you ought not be thinking about. You're worrying. And so it strangles us. And, I'll tell you something else, too, about worry. Worry has definite, no question about it, serious physical consequences. If you polled a bunch of doctors, you'd find out that many of those doctors, you could just about go to any type of doctor. But I'm telling you, there's heart trouble that can be associated with anxiety. There is headaches, neck pains, ulcers, back pains, our digestive system. I'm not saying if you have any of those problems, it's because of worry. But what I am saying is that worry can add to those problems or help you have those problems. Amen. And worry. And so we just need to understand that today. From the spiritual point of view, and this is where we're going to get into in these verses, there's three things that we're going to see that's a biblical principle just here in a minute, but that really where worry starts at, I believe it really starts in the mind with wrong thinking. Amen? And boy, there's a lot to be said in the Bible about the mind. And beloved, I'm telling you, the war that we fight in this life against Satan and against the world and the flesh, I tell you, it starts in the mind. It really does. You go over and go over to Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but you know Romans chapter 12. If you study Romans, you know that up until Romans chapter 12, he's dealing with a lot of technical things as far as, you know, he's dealing with sin early on, salvation, justification by faith. But when you get into Romans chapter 12, I believe it starts dealing with the living of the Christian life. You know, that's where it talks about spiritual gifts and so on and so forth. And but how does he want to introduce how we're going to live our Christian lives? How does he introduce the section where we're going to live our Christian lives? By talking about the mind. Amen. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Peter talks about girding up the loins of your mind. So worry really starts with wrong thinking. Then the mind, it starts with, then it goes to wrong feeling, which is in the heart. And then it goes to wrong living. Because of worry, people aren't doing what they're supposed to do sometimes. And because they're not having that faith and trusting in God. I'm telling you, worry is the greatest thief of our joy. Amen. There is no greater thief to joy than worry. Boy, how's this going to turn out? What's going to happen here? And we're going to talk about some of that in just a little bit. So if that is, and here's one of the things that I just really think I titled this, Winning the War with Worry. And one reason I did that, because in verse 7, the Bible says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep." And if you write in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline or circle that word keep. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That keep, that is an armed guard. That is that's referring to someone that is being paid to guard, to keep, to stand at the door, to stand at the garrison, to make sure that things are going to be safe. And the Bible's telling us that God's peace will stand guard in our minds. God's peace will guard against the enemy that's coming against us if we will do the things that He tells us to do in these verses. So the antidote of worry is a secure mind. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, here in Philippians, we're going to see these three things that I really believe are helping us. And again, you'll see it throughout the Bible. But the first thing he talks about is right praying. Right praying. Learning to pray right. He talks about praying right, thinking right, and living right. That sounds real simple. But if we will pray right, think right, and live right, beloved, we're going to win the war with worry. Amen. Now that sounds real simple. And some of you might think it sounds so simple that you're thinking, oh man, that ain't going to help me. But listen, because God's Word will help you if we'll listen to it. See, first thing he talks about there in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. So don't worry about anything. But pray about everything. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, boy, sometimes, a lot of times we might say something like this. Hey, don't worry about it. You just need to pray. That's what Paul said, but he didn't just say that. He didn't just say, hey, don't worry about it. Pray about it and leave it at that. Because the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of us that just don't really know how to pray right. We don't know how to pray right. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you look right here in these verses and we see it right off. He describes prayer three ways. He says by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. All three of those are things that we call prayer. We go in supplication before God and we say we're praying and we are. And we go to God in adoration and we say we're praying and we are. But what he's saying here is he's saying, here's the way you need to pray. You need to go to God in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. See, that's right praying. Right praying. Now, so the first thing he talks about is this. He says, in all things by prayer. Now, we use that word very, what would you say, generically, if you will. But it does have, this word prayer has the idea of adoring. It has the idea of coming before God, recognizing who He is. It comes, and you say, oh, well, where do you see that illustrated? Well, you think about Jesus. What did He say whenever the disciples come and said, Lord, teach us to pray? And He said, the first thing you need to say is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Amen. See, the first thing, and you go through the Psalms. I mean, let's praise Him. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. I mean, we come in adoration before God. So the first thing the Apostle Paul's saying, because you know what a lot of us do when we go to pray? Especially when we're worrying about something. We come before God, and as soon as we hit our knees, all we start talking about is, God, how am I going to get out of this problem? Lord, what are we going to do? And listen, there's a time and place for that, but it really ain't as soon as we get before God when we've got time to really get down and get before God. See, what he's saying, he said, in all things by prayer. Don't worry about anything, but in all things by prayer. Amen? And I don't know how much of this I'll get through, but the fact of the matter is the Bible's teaching us that we need to pray. We need to come before God with worship, with adoration, with praise. How does that work? I'll tell you how it works. And some of you know how it works. Because there's been times in my life that I have been loaded down with care. Loaded down with worry. Not knowing how things were going to work out and come out. But you know what? I'd get in an altar somewhere and I'd get down to pray. And I would, my temptation would be to go ahead and just start basically everything that's been going on in my mind, just basically repeat it before God. But then it'd be like the Spirit of God remind me and say, no, don't just come before me with that stuff. Why don't you come before me first and praise me a little bit? Adore me a little bit. And boy, I'll get down in that altar and I'll start praying. Oh, dear God. Lord, the great I am. Lord, the maker of all things. Lord, the one that existed before there was anything. Lord, You spoke, God, and just by Your Word, You spoke all of this universe into existence. Lord, by You, this whole universe consists. Lord, You're a vast God. The heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain Thee. Oh, Lord, You're such a great God. Lord, great things You've done. Lord, You opened up the Red Sea. Lord God, You brought down the walls of Jericho. Lord, you came down in the womb of a virgin. You lived a sinless life on this earth for 33 and a half years. Lord, You went to that cross and You died for me. Lord, and You had that on Your mind before You ever made anything. And you know what? What am I doing? I've got a lot of worry. I've got a lot of care. But you know what? God's still worthy of our adoration. And you know what happens? Before long, buddy, if I start off praying like that, it ain't long before I'm saying, Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise Your name. Why? Because you know what seems to start happening sometimes? When I start seeing how big God is through adoring Him and through lifting up His name, all of a sudden my problems don't seem so big. Amen? Hey, and all of a sudden, I just start looking and I just start thinking, oh, Lord, God, if You were before all things were. And Lord, as a matter of fact, You are after all things are over. Lord, and You saw me way back there. God, and You love me. You love me enough to go to that cross. You love me enough to shed Your blood. You love me enough to go through all You went through. To save my old sorry hide. My sinful hide that didn't care for You. And you know what? Lord, if You did all that, God, You know about what I'm going through right now. Lord, and You care about what I'm going through right now, Lord. And I'm so glad, hallelujah, Lord, that You're going to take care of it. Amen. You know the end from the beginning. Amen. You're going to do right. Hallelujah. See, that's prayer. But you know, so what happened? What happened when we do it that way? What happens when we come before God and we don't worry about nothing, but we pray? In other words, we come and we adore God. We praise Him. We lift up His holy name. What happens when we do that? You better believe it. And you know what? Our God He's always big, but in our minds and our hearts, He gets real big. And our problem gets real small. I'll tell you what the problem is with you sometimes and what the problem is with me sometimes. We've got that completely turned around. We come before God with a problem this big and we act like we've got a God this big. Ain't that right? Our problem's so big. And we forget about how big our God is. Amen? See, that's why the first prescription... See, is it not true? I tell you, I believe there's people that's been saved for years that really don't know how to pray. I'm not saying they can't go talk to God. You say, well, I can talk to God. What do you mean I don't know how to pray? Yeah, and you are praying. But I'm talking about, man, we need to come before God in adoration and praise and lifting up His name. Amen. And so he said the very first thing that you need to do in prayer, you need to pray. You need to adore Him. The second thing is supplication. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, this is where we come in and begin to share our problems. But what happens is we're doing it from a different perspective. Because now, basically, with adoring and praising Him, now all of a sudden, we have basically turned it over to Him. We basically cast all of our care. What's that word care again? Anxiety, worry. We've cast all our care and our worry on Him. And now we begin to pray in supplication. Now, there's sometimes I've come before God with some problems that I didn't even have to pray much about the problems after I adored Him. Amen? But there's other times that after I've adored Him, I said, now God, Lord, You know this need in our lives. God, and we're praying Your work. Lord, we're praying that You'll move. And we begin to pray in supplication, amen? And seriousness and from the very depths of our hearts. You think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, amen? I mean, listen, the disciples were sleeping when He was praying and sweating great drops of blood. Beloved, we do need to learn to pray once again in supplication. We do need to learn to pray once again and seriously committing things to the Lord and praying from the very depths of our hearts. Amen. Praying in supplication. I mean, and it's not about carnal energy. It's not about the energy that we expend, but it's about spiritual intensity. It's about having a burden on our hearts. It's about having something that, it's about having that Jacob kind of prayer. Amen. That I'm not going to let You go till You bless me. Amen. Lord, I'm here before You. God, we've got to see Your hand work. We've got to see Your hand move. And when you've got your perspective right, you know you've got a God big enough to do it. Amen? So He says, by prayer, supplication, and then lastly, giving thanks. Amen? Amen? Giving thanks. After we've done all that, we just need to thank Him. Lord, I thank You for what You've done. Boy, I've tried to get my mind right. I really have. I mean, boy, the Lord's still working on me. I mean, boy, I've got a long ways to go. I really do. I still got a lot of rough edges. And one of the things I've been trying to think about a lot here lately was, well, for instance, we're trying to sell our house up there in South Dakota. We just moved and we weren't going to wait for it to sell. We just went ahead and left. And I caught myself saying, boy, it sure would be a blessing if it sells. It sure would be a blessing if it sells. But what I'm saying in that is that it wouldn't be a blessing if it don't sell. Right? But whose hands is it in if it sells or not? I believe it's in the Lord's hands. So if it don't sell, guess what? It sure would be a blessing. Amen? And it doesn't change the way that I pray about it. I'm praying that it'll sell. But if it don't, I'm just going to have to believe that God knows what's right. Amen? And I'm just going to have to believe that God has a reason because He wants to teach me to trust Him, amen, more and have more faith in Him. And He wants to show me how He's going to come through. Amen. Amen. I mean, so sometimes we get our minds messed up. But so we need to learn to thank God. And a lot of times we say, well, I'm going to thank God in spite of this or that. But really, we've got to learn that either God's doing it or allowing it so we can really thank God in all things. If He's allowing us to go through that fire, we can thank Him because His grace is sufficient. Amen. Thank God. Hey, we need to learn to thank Him. And there's something about thanksgiving, boy, that'll just cure some worry. Amen? Boy, I can remember back, I was be driving home from work in Charlotte, North Carolina. And boy, just got married, house, car, all this stuff. Had a wife, had a kid, had another kid on the way. And boy, I was working a job to where they had just changed things around to where we was getting paid by the job. I was doing heating and air conditioning, and so we got paid by the job. Only bad thing was is we hit about a 2-month stretch to where it was never but about 75 degrees all day long. Now nobody buys heating and air conditioning when it's 75 degrees. It don't matter if it's broke. They're going to wait until they have to run it and it don't work for them. So you know what? Man, I was going through a couple weeks at a time where I was bringing on literally paychecks that were $100 to $150. And this was, 12, 13 years ago, but still that wasn't much money back then either. Amen. For a week. For a family. And I can remember coming home and just, driving down the road and thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? I mean, man, and I get that little paycheck and think, dear God. I mean, I'm starting to worry. But all of a sudden, I just start thinking, but you know what, Lord? I'm sure glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Lord, and I thank you for that. And Lord, you know what? Lord, I just got to thank you because, praise God, before I ever pull this car up in my driveway, that trumpet might sound. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And Lord, and whatever happens, when the time comes for me to die, I'm not going to hell. Amen. And before long, I'm going down the interstate. And when I first got on, after I left the bank, man, I'm kind of doing like this. But before I get home, buddy, I'm, woo! I mean, just shouting her out, going down the highway. Amen. People probably thought I was crazy, but I didn't care because my God's good. Amen. So we need to learn to pray right. Praying right means that we're coming before Him with adoration, supplication, and we're coming before Him with thanksgiving. Amen? I mean, how many of us really pray right? No wonder we've been worrying. Amen? No wonder we've been worrying. We just hadn't been praying right. Now, the next thing he goes on to talk about here, Bible says in verse 7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Boy, what peace, amen, he had. Now, this is the peace of God. Everybody that's saved has what? Peace with God. But not everybody that's saved has the peace of God. Amen? You've got peace with God, but you have the peace of God in your heart, ruling, reigning, I mean guarding against the enemies that would come in of worry and so forth. He goes on to talk about right thinking. He says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, he says you got to think right. See, peace involves the heart and the mind. What's the Bible say in Isaiah 26, verse 3? "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Amen? "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." See, the thing about the mind is this. And I know sometimes you get talking about the mind, and I know there's modernists and stuff that's gone goofy with the things talking about the mind. But the Bible does talk about the mind. But wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling. If you ain't thinking right, guess what? You ain't going to feel right. And if you ain't feeling right, guess what? You probably ain't going to do right. Amen? You don't think right, therefore you don't feel right, therefore you don't do right. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling. And we must realize that there's really something to be said about the power of our thoughts. Boy, I tell you, you go over and study 2 Corinthians 10. And the Bible talks about bringing every thought into captivity of Christ. Amen. You really ought to look at that 2 Corinthians 10 if you ain't real familiar with it. And once again, it's really interesting because it's using military terminology. Amen. It's using military terminology talking about the mind again. Amen. So we got to understand that there's really something to be said about wrong thinking. Now, this is interesting. There was a survey that was done some years ago. Think about this. That only 8% of the things which people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. 8% of the things people worry about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary. I hate to admit this, and I might be the only one in here. I doubt it, though. You ever maybe, gotten sick, I don't get sick a whole lot, but man, you feel like it's kind of dragging on a little bit. And you lay in there in your bed and you just all of a sudden think, and maybe you get sick and maybe just crosses your mind, what if I got cancer? Mama got cancer. So and so. And I'll just sit there and I'll start worrying myself to death. Guess what? I don't have cancer. And if I did, it's in God's hands, amen. But I'm saying, I'll start imagining things. Man, you know, that heart stuff runs in my family, man. Maybe it's my heart, you know. And, man, you know what I'm saying? And maybe I'm the only one. But I'm just saying, that kind of stuff, it's imaginary. So 92% of the things that you and I worry about are either imaginary or they're things that never happen. There's people in here that are worried to death, probably, about what's going to happen in the future with something concerning finances. I mean, just worried to death about it. Guess what? A lot of those things we worry about never even happen. They never even happen. I can't tell you the times that they took my car. Well, they never did, but, you know. I can't tell you the times they foreclosed my house. Well, they never did. Amen. It never happened. Amen. I mean, I can't tell you the times that I've had loved ones die while traveling or whatever. They never did. Amen. I mean, there's things that never even happen. Or, so 92% of things that you and I worry about are either imaginary, I mean, just completely no validation at all. Either the things that never happen, we're worrying about tomorrow, or there are things that we can't do nothing about anyway. And that fits into what the everything I just mentioned too. Can't do nothing about it anyway. You know, which of you by taking thought will add one cubit to his stature? Jesus had a sense of humor. I believe he did. He said, how many of you can sit around and worry about it long enough? And if you sit around and worry about it long enough, you're going to grow a foot. You know, can you do that? Okay, then why are you going to worry about something that you can't do nothing about? Amen. I mean, so 92%, think about that. You could say 9 out of 10 things that you worry about and that I worry about. Let's say 90 out of 100 things. 90 out of 100 things that you worry about are either imaginary, never happen, or you can't do nothing about. Think about it this way. 900 out of 1,000. Is that right? Yeah. I better quit all these numbers here. But what I'm saying, the point I'm trying to make is we're wasting a lot of time worrying. We're causing ourselves a lot of harm worrying. Amen? When we could just be praising God, serving God, doing something for the Lord. Amen? We're worrying, though. So you think about that. I wonder if some of you, there's some of you no doubt that sit there and thought, you know, there's been a lot of things I've worried about that do fit in that category. Amen? And but we just got to trust God. And that's why worry is a sin, by the way. Because all of this just means we're not trusting the Lord. Amen? It just means that we don't have our confidence in Him. Amen? And, beloved, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen? But we need to have confidence in the Lord. Because if we do, we're not going to be worried about things. So 92% of things we worry about. Now you think about it. What's Satan trying to do? The Bible says in John 8:44, Jesus said that Satan is a liar. Amen? He's a liar. And he wants to corrupt your mind and my mind with lies. Amen? Brother was talking about it before Sunday school. Boy, he's talking about those things that somebody will say, oh, the preacher this or this, that, or the other thing. And they can think, oh, because Satan will tell you all kinds of lies. Amen? He's a liar. What we know that what Satan said in the garden, yea, if God said. We all know that so well. But yet we listen to him when he says it to us. Yea, hath God said? He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Has God really said that? Look at you. I mean, are you sure? Right? I mean, yea, has God said? I mean, we know it. Some of us have known it all our lives. But still, He gets us on it, amen? Or we let Him get us on it sometimes. Yea, as God said, that's the way the devil approaches us. Just as He approached Eve. The Holy Spirit, He controls our minds through truth. Thy word is truth. Amen? Thy word is truth. But the devil tries to control our minds through lies. I'm telling you what. As a preacher, you meet a lot of people, and really I'm telling you, you can usually see what the struggle is in somebody's life. Usually what the struggle is in somebody's life when they're really teetering on whether to, you know, stay in it for God or whatever it is, you could tell this person's entertaining the lies of the devil versus the truth of the Word of God. They don't understand that sometimes, but you've got to let them say, well, what did the Bible say? Well, it said this. Okay. That don't have nothing to do with what you said. People get mixed up ideas about God. Man, I just really feel that God is this way. Oh, I feel like God's really this way toward me. I feel like God doesn't care about it. I feel like God's just done with all these things. Okay, that's the way you feel. But what's the Bible say? Amen? See, we've got to learn to distinguish between the lies of the devil and the truth of the Word of God. Amen? And we don't entertain the lies of the devil. We know the truth of God's Word. He tries to slip us counterfeits all the time. Amen? I'm talking about in our thoughts even. So, are you going to believe a lie or are you going to believe the devil? I mean, you're going to believe the lie of the devil or are you going to believe Christ and the truth of the Word of God? Notice here, he actually tells us what to think on right away. And that's the first thing he says in verse 8 about what to think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. True. That's based on God's Word. Amen. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. You said, aren't those the same? Well, they obviously relate. But the idea behind the honest part means things worthy of respect and right. Amen? I mean, right things. Honest things. It goes on to say, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Amen? Well, I tell you, that's a big attack, isn't it? See, what he's trying to tell us here is that we've got to define the influence of our minds. We've got to determine what we're going to allow in our minds and what we're in. We have got to exercise mind control. Not on other people, but on our own minds. Amen? I mean, we've got to learn to control our minds. We've got to learn to say, this is coming in, this ain't coming in. This came in, but Lord, take it out. Amen? I mean, we've got to learn to do that. And that's what he's telling us here. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are pure. Boy, I tell you, there's battles today on purity, isn't there? All over. But, beloved, we've got to think on things that are pure. And where, by the way, does things enter our minds at? Through our eyes and through our ears. That's where things get in our mind. And so, beloved, we've got to control what we're looking at. Because what we're looking at is going to determine what we think about. And what we listen to is going to determine. I mean, listen, I tell you what, I don't know how you can be a news junkie and have peace. I like following enough news to where I'm not just completely ignorant. But if I listen to it enough, man, I tell you what, I'll be worried to death. I mean, listen, Obama will have me, and I don't want to let Obama get the best of me, amen? There's honestly people that's going to come into the house of God. Obama don't even know who they are. And here they are, worried to death and upset, all upset about Obama, and they can't worship God. Amen? We need to get upset about Obama. Amen? But not to the point to where it robs us of our joy. Amen? I'm just saying that we've got to think on things that are right, things that are pure, things that are true. All of these things, things of virtue, things of praise. Amen? Think on right things. And again, you see that, you see it illustrated in the Word of God. We're going to illustrate it just again here in a minute, but you think about in Psalm 19, you'll see a description. I'm going to go over to Psalm 19 right quick, if you want to turn over there. The 19th Psalm, and verses 7 through 9. And what you'll see here is, I believe that you'll see the heart, the mind, and the will, what we do here in these verses. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Thank God for that. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What you see in these verses is that the Word of God will cure the way you think and cure the way you live. Amen? If we follow the Word of God, it's going to affect the way we live our lives. So think on right things. Man, I tell you, I can't stress that enough. Think on things that are right. Amen. Don't let stupid stuff get in your head. Well, I tell you, so many of the problems up there that we've had, I started that church about seven years ago, and so many of the problems we've had is just things that people's got in their minds. Amen? Well, I tell you what, I told somebody the other day, I used to get real nervous, man. There's been at least a few people that stood up in church, right up in church, and just publicly testified how much of a blessing I was and how much they appreciated me. And buddy, it wasn't 2 weeks until they was gone and running me down all over the place. Amen? And you know what? I didn't change. I was the same guy that sat with them that they loved. I didn't change. But what changed was they let something get in their minds. Amen? All right. I'll give you this last one quickly here. He said, so if you're going to win the war with worry, you've got to learn to pray right, think right, and then the lastly is live right. Notice verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, sin always results in unrest. If you've got sin in your life, you're not going to have peace. If you've got sin in your life, you're going to have worry. Amen? And your sin might not seem as bad as so-and-so's sin. But beloved, we need to compare our sin in the light of God's holiness. Amen? And think of it, and sin will affect and it'll cause us to worry. Amen? See, we've got to get our living right. If we're not living right with God, I'm telling you what's going to happen is we are not going to have the peace of God. There's a real interesting section when you look over here. You kind of see the reverse in James chapter number 3. Go over there to James with me real quick. And I want to show you this. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This is real interesting kind of contrast to Philippians. James chapter number 4. All right. James 4. And notice here in James 4. Oh, and by the way, Philippians 4, by the way, is called the peace chapter. Philippians 4 is called the peace chapter. James 4 is called the war chapter. Amen. James 4 begins with a question. Amen. Notice here in James 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your members? Notice what he says here. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye cannot, or ye have not, because ye ask not. What's these people's problems? They're not living right. They're not living right. But then notice this in verse 3. They're not praying right either. The Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Amen. So they're not living right. They're not thinking right. Once again, you see the fact that they're not living right in verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, verse 8, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James chapter 4 shows us the peace chapter. How to have peace. How do we do that? We pray right, we think right, we live right. James chapter 4 shows you how to have war in your life and unrest. Don't live right. Don't think right, and don't pray right. Amen? And that's exactly where you'll find yourself. Amen? But I really believe that if we could take the time to look at this and look at these principles and study them in the Word of God, that we can win the war with worry. Amen? Amen, preacher. I'm done.